So there's not a fun way to say that. And I don't want to make it sound fun, and I don't want to scare you. I just want you to be excited that you're going to get to go to heaven, or that you have the option to make a decision tonight to go to heaven, not even have to think about a place like hell and how bad it is and stuff like that. So tonight, you guys, just I really want you to focus in and think about the things that I'm talking about, okay? So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's the reality, Father. We are all destined to die someday. You know that day. You hold our very breath in your hands, and the day you don't want us to breathe anymore, we will not, because you are in control of our lives, Father. You're in control of all lives. Even the people here who don't recognize you as God, as Lord, you are still in charge of their lives, believe it or not, Lord. And I just know, Father, that you can save some people in here tonight, Lord. I know that there's some people in here who have not made a decision, Lord, who have not thought about the reality that they're going to one of two places, Lord. And I pray that none of us, Lord, would ever have to even think about going to a place that was never meant for us, like hell. And so today I pray that you just help us realize that you love us so much, and that's why you died, so that we would never have to go to a place like that. And so we ask that you just be with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure you guys have all ridden Interstate 25, or as we call it, I-25. Now, if you don't know, I-25 goes through three states, New Mexico, Colorado, and Wyoming. And get this, it runs 1,062.77 miles. That's pretty good, right? That's a pretty long way to travel that whole way. Well, although I-25 is very long, right? 1,000 miles is pretty long. It isn't the longest, but it's not the shortest either. And as far as how big it is, it's not the widest, but it's not the narrowest highway either. For those categories, we have to go outside of the United States. Let me introduce you to this first picture here, okay? This first picture, this is the narrowest street that exists. This is, the top one is found in England. How would you like to travel down that path on a dark night, right? You're like, no, thank you. I wouldn't want to do that at all. And the bottom one there, those bottom three pictures are found in Germany. I love it. That girl on the far left, she can't even like walk like straight. She's got to like, kind of like, you know, like walk sideways to get down there. It's pretty funny. But those aren't so bad, right, for walking. But what if you were driving down a pretty narrow road? Well, let me introduce you to the next picture. This is the world's skinniest, or I should say narrowest highway. It's found in Bolivia. If you guys don't know where Bolivia is, it's in South America. But dude, I mean, look at that. Dude, you like reach down to have a drink of your like Coke or something like that, and you go fly off a cliff or something like that. It looks really scary. You know, when I saw that, I was like, dude, like one slug bug shouldn't be on that road, let alone two semi-trucks. Why is there two semi-trucks on there? Man, Bolivians are crazy people. If you're Bolivian in here, no offense, but I think you're a pretty crazy person. But here's the deal. That's pretty crazy, right? Well, okay, those are the most narrow. How about the biggest? Well, let me introduce you to the world's largest highway. This is found in Canada. This is the 401 in Toronto, Canada. Now, not counting frontage roads, I counted 19 lanes. And you know what I love? That there's 19 lanes, but there's still traffic. Like, that's just the way it is, I guess, right? That's just how life is. That's a serious highway. That's like three times the size of I-25, right? Well, in a close second is something on our own American soil. The next picture, there you go. That is the I-75 in Atlanta, Georgia, everybody. It looks like a game of Mousetrap. You guys ever played Mousetrap where it's like, you know, like everything's all crazy like that? Well, at least we have something to say that it's American, right? Well, that's the second biggest, widest highway that exists. That just makes me think crazy things when I see that. It makes me confused and to wonder how people actually built that, and that it actually, I guess, makes sense, even though it looks just like craziness to me. But here's the deal. Those were pretty narrow, right, and pretty wide. Those are pretty big streets. Well, I have a confession to make. I haven't been 100% honest with you tonight, because there is still a bigger road, a wider road, and there's still a smaller road, a narrower road in the world. The smallest road, yes, smaller than that, even that Bolivian highway, smaller than that passageway in Germany, is the road that leads to heaven. Sadly, the road to heaven is the narrowest way. And the world's largest superhighway, no, it's not the 401 in Toronto. Yes, it has more than 19 lanes. It's the road that leads to hell. Now, today I've named my message His Way or the Highway, meaning it's very simple. If you don't choose the narrow road, which leads to heaven, you will take the super highway, which leads to hell. Today, we're going to see four quick points. The first is that the choice is yours where you end up. The second thing is this. We're going to talk about the highway to hell, one of the places that you could end up. And we're going to talk about why so many people take this road. Thirdly, we're going to see this, the path to paradise. We're going to see the road that leads to heaven and why so few people end up on this road. And lastly, we're going to see that if these are our options, heaven or hell, then what should our pursuit be as people in the world? So we're going to only read two verses today in our whole time because these are some really important verses, okay? So make sure you're in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be starting in verse 13. Let's read it. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The first point we're going to talk about tonight is called The Choice is Yours. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie E.T.? Anybody ever seen E.T.? Okay, good. I read a story that when E.T. came out, the producers of E.T. wanted to ask the people who make M&Ms, which is the Mars Corporation, if they could use M&Ms in the movie and then promote the M&Ms. And the M&M guy was like, you know what? I don't think I want my candy in this movie that like nobody's ever going to know about, right? That's what he thought. Like, no one's ever going to see this movie. I don't want my candy in some low budget junk film. You know what I mean? But then, of course, we know what happened. I mean, here you guys are like 30 years later and you've seen E.T. Obviously, E.T. is pretty popular. And what happened was instead of using the M&Ms, they went and talked to the Reese's people. The Reese's people made Reese's Pieces. And guess what? Reese's Pieces sales like went through the roof. So that was a pretty dumb decision, right? Not to sell the M&Ms to the E.T. people. And I read another one about an English record company who heard about this band who wanted to come in. And this band's name was The Beatles. And as they came in and wanted to demo their CD and asked if this record company wanted to sign them, the people said, you know what, you guys, I don't think you guys are going to go anywhere, right? The Beatles. I don't think we want to sign you and stuff like that. So they denied the Beatles. Well, those were some very bad decisions, right, that those people made. They could have done very well if they would have made the right decision. I asked some people around Calvary, just some friends of mine, how many decisions they think they make every hour. And now the responses were very different, but still very high. I got from 100 to 500. I mean, think about this. Think about this. Think of how many decisions you make every hour. By the way, you just had to make a decision to think about that, right? You just had to make a decision. I'm not just talking about huge life-altering decisions, right? I mean anything. Right now, you're deciding to listen, I hope. You have to decide where to look. You have to decide that you're not going to jump up right now and start flailing your arms around and start screaming or something like that, right? You have to make all of these decisions, right? Many decisions every day. Our seconds, our minutes, our hours, our days, our months, our weeks, our years, our lives are made up of decisions, right? And out of the billions of decisions that we make in our lives, let's read about the most important decision that we must make. Let's read Matthew 13 one more time. I'm just going to read the first word, okay? Enter, all right? Jesus says, enter. Now imagine you're walking down the street and maybe it's somebody you know comes by in their car, opens the door, and all they say is, enter. Right? All right. You'd probably, it's a word that demands a response. You can't just like sit there and be like you're either going to get in or you're not going to get in, right? If they say enter, you're either going to be like, no, creepo or something, or like, all right, hey man, I know you. Let's go get a, you know, a Slurpee or something like that. But here's the deal. You must enter or you must not. It's just the way it is. And this is what Jesus is doing right here. Let me catch you up a little bit, okay? What we've been studying in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. This is why we call our series, if you saw the banners on the way in, we call it Kingdom Come. because Jesus is talking all about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about how to be a disciple in chapters 5, 6, and 7, right? And what it means to live for him, right? And after all of this instruction that he's given them, he starts saying now, enter, okay? He's about to demand an answer for all the things that they have said, or heard, excuse me. Much like today, you will hear me say a lot of things, and at the end of tonight, you will have a choice to make. To either enter in to the narrow way, enter into the way of Jesus, or not to, right? Today you will make that choice. The choice is yours. That's something you must know, you guys. You'll never make it to heaven by being a good person. You'll never make it to heaven because your parents love the Lord. You'll never make it to heaven because you love velocity. The only way to get to heaven is for you, to you personally, no one else, make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and to live for him. And to not live for yourself, to not fulfill your selfish desires, but to give up your will and live for God. It's funny how much time the world spends making decisions, right? We make decisions all day. We're worried about what we're going to eat. We're worried about who likes us. We're worried about everything. But many of us have yet to make the decision on who Jesus Christ is. Let me ask you this. What about you? Have you made the choice of who Jesus is? And I don't mean like, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus in the first grade and I've never lived for him. And yeah, you know, I like church and stuff like that. But on the weekends, I still like to do my sinful stuff. I don't mean that kind of a decision. I mean, you live for him every day. This is the most important choice you guys will ever make. You know, the Bible is filled with this question asking if you will worship God. You know, in Joshua, all the way back in the Old Testament, Joshua says, hey, choose whom you will serve this day. Every day he says, choose who you're going to serve. He says, for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord, right? Joshua knew that he had to make the decision for himself. He couldn't get all of Israel to believe in God or to follow God, but he knew that he could and that he could follow him. Or in 1 Kings, we see Elijah. Right? Now, if you don't remember, Elijah is about to have a showdown with all these prophets of this false god, and he says, hey, how long will you waver between two gods? If the God of the Bible is God, then worship him and live for him. And if Baal is God, some fake god, well, then I guess live for him, right? But he says, you need to make a choice. Because you guys, you see, in the end, everybody has this in common. That we've all sinned, right? And if we have not put our faith in Jesus Christ and believed in him, we will not just go to heaven, all right? I just need you to know that. You don't just by default go to heaven like, I was pretty good, like I died and I get to go to heaven, it's over. It's not like that. Guess where you go by default? You go to hell, right? So maybe some of you guys here are on the fence. Maybe that's some of you guys here. You're like, yeah, I mean, I would consider myself a Christian, I guess, and I dedicated my life to the Lord, I guess, but, you know, I also do a lot of sinful things, and I'm also caught up in the world a lot. Well, let me tell you what Jesus would say about that, okay? He tells us in Revelation 3:16, one of the most epic passages in the Bible. You won't even believe it if you've never read it. He says this, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's pretty legit, right? Jesus says, you're not for me, you're not against me, you're kind of in the middle, and because that's lukewarm and gross, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You guys can understand that. I mean, like, hot chocolate is great. Cold chocolate, great. Warm chocolate, it's kind of like lost its fun, right? It's kind of like lost the good stuff, right? So if there's any of you in here who are kind of just like floating along lukewarm, decide today who you will follow. Will you follow him or won't you? Because there's something you need to know. God will never force you. Sure, he wants to persuade you, and I want to persuade you, and other Christians want to persuade you, but at the end of the day, you guys, nobody can make the decision but you. Did you hear that? No one can make the choice but you. Don't be like those guys who could have had their M&Ms and E.T., right? Don't be like that guy who could have signed the Beatles and had all this money, because guess what? If you miss out on Jesus Christ, you're going to lose a lot more than just money. You're going to lose eternity in heaven. with Jesus and everybody. You know, I don't know if you guys follow basketball. I don't, but I like to like read the news and stuff. And if you don't know, let me tell you what's going on. So LeBron James, I guess, you know, LeBron James, like the guy, you know what I mean? He's like, so he's a free agent this year, meaning he can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can go play for any team he wants to. And so I heard the other night that they were going to have a special on ESPN for a full hour. And it was going to be all about LeBron's decision. Like, who's he going to play for? Everybody wants to know. And all I could think about is, as these millions of people look at the TV, right, and watch the TV wondering this big decision that LeBron's going to make, will it be Cleveland? Will it be Miami? What will it be, right? All I could think about was how many of those millions of people are unsafe? How many of those millions of people are so worried about where LeBron James is going to play ball, but they haven't even realized that their own souls are in jeopardy of going to a place like hell? Yikes, right? I never want any of us to end up that way, right? But at the end of the day, it's your choice, and it's my choice. So let's look at one of the two places where we can end up. Our next point is called Highway to Hell. Let's look at verse 13 once again. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Now, in 1979, the Australian famous rock sensation AC/DC came out with their sixth studio record entitled Highway to Hell, and it sold 7 million records alone here in the United States. Now, the CD features their title track, Highway to Hell, which made it all the way to number 47 on the top 100 pop charts. I want to read you some of the lyrics to the song, okay? You ready? Living easy, living free, ain't nothing I'd rather do. All my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, no speed limits, no one's going to slow me down. I'm on the highway to hell. Now, of course, that's just a song, but you know, that mentality is pretty darn true. Because that's the fact of why many people find themselves in hell. Right? Just like this song. It's all about me. I want to live free. I want to party. I don't want anybody bothering me. Right? I don't want to conform to what God wants me to do. It's all about me and what I want. You know, in our society, that's very easy to do. If you guys haven't heard it, I'm sure you will someday, that they want to tell you that that life is all about your pleasure. Right? They want to tell you that life is all about you. And you should just make sure that everything, if you're happy and it feels good and all that, then right on. That's awesome. But that's not right, right? That can be a very dangerous idea when everybody gets to make up their own decisions, right? I mean, think about almost 7 billion people in our world today. Now imagine 7 billion people trying to do whatever they want to do. Oh, it's all about me. Every person out of those 7 billion is like, it's all about me. I want to do it my way, right? That's what leads to this path to hell. This is why I called this highway to hell, this point, because Jesus in this verse is basically saying that. He's saying that the way to hell is huge. It's like that 401. There's just people traveling down it all day, down life, not paying attention to what's going on. He says that the road to heaven is very narrow. We're going to look at that next. But that the way to hell is very broad. And as we saw in the beginning, right? Like that picture, many people are going down it. It's very easy to understand, right? Because here's the deal. Anything outside of Jesus Christ leads to hell. It's that simple. Let me tell you this. There is 19, quote unquote, major religions of the world. So you have one of them, Christianity, okay, the true way, and then you have 18 other religions, not to mention all the other millions of people who don't even believe in religion or a God, right? And so you can now begin to see why the pathway to hell is so huge and why so many people go by it, right? One true way. Jesus Christ. And maybe you're wondering, well, why is that the one true way? Is it because when we read it makes us all warm and fuzzy inside? No. Is it because it's just the one we picked? we live in North America, so it's kind of like Christianity is like something that we like to do. No, no, it's not. It's because of truth. It's because this thing is 100% true. Because everything the Bible affirms is true and has been tested. If it were not true, let me tell you this. I hope that we wouldn't follow the Bible. I hope that none of us would be so ignorant as to follow a book full of lies. But it isn't. It's full of truth. And that's why we follow it, right? The world wants you to think today, you guys, that you can believe what you want and I can believe what I want and it's going to work out all great, right? Well, that's a very big problem. Because if everybody gets to make up what's right in their own way, then who are we to condemn someone like Osama bin Laden for throwing planes into our buildings? Because he's just another religious guy doing what he thinks is right, right? So if everybody gets to make up their own way and there's not one true way, then why is Hitler wrong? He was just doing what he thought was right, killing people. That was his thing. But that's the point here, you guys. We all can't be right. Our faith says, love your enemies. Many people's faith, like Muslims, is make war against your enemies. How could we both be right? Right? If you have a friend who says, I'm a Buddhist and I'm going to heaven, I'd have a problem with that because Jesus Christ said, I am the only way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody goes to the Father, meaning nobody gets to go to heaven where the Father dwells unless it's through me. So how can a Buddhist or anybody else for that matter, apart from Jesus Christ, go to heaven? So obviously somebody's a liar. Either Jesus is the liar and there is many ways to heaven, or Jesus is right and he is the only way and everybody else is wrong. And we know that Jesus is the only way because of the Bible, because it is 100% accurate without a doubt. You can base your life upon it. You can do the research. I promise you that whatever thing you have, it can stand up to it. You guys understand that? That's huge when defending your faith, you guys, not being able to tell somebody that it's idiotic to think that everything can be true, that we can all be right. It doesn't work, right? But you can see why that it's really a highway to hell, right? It's a lot of people are going the other way. There are not many of us Christians, right? Because a lot of people just think, you know what? All you have to do is be a good person, right? And if you're a good person, then someday you're going to wake up in heaven and we'll be playing tennis and sipping iced tea, right? They want you to think that. But that can't be true, right? Because here's the deal. You and me will never be good enough for heaven. And that's why God didn't make being good a qualification for heaven. He made believing in Jesus a qualification for heaven, right? Come to church all you want. Great. That's a great thing to do. Live for Jesus. That's a great thing, right? Donate your money. Go give to the poor. All great things, but nothing but the blood of Christ will get you into heaven. And so if somebody says, well, all good people go to heaven, you can say, well, no, because everybody's a sinner. And so not everybody does get to go to heaven, right? Only people who have Jesus, who have believed in Jesus. I want to clear something up for you guys because I thought that maybe some of you will have been asking this question. Well, if God loves us so much, then why does he send people to hell? Maybe that's a question you've thought about before in your life. Well, let me answer it for you real quick. Two reasons why people go to hell. Number one is what we just talked about earlier. Each person makes their own decision. Okay? Right? God doesn't send anybody. Throughout your life, you have a choice. All of you right now are listening to truth. You have a choice tonight to accept Jesus, to live for him and go to heaven, or to deny that and you know the consequences. It's that simple. So when you get to say you don't accept Jesus, you die, you go to hell, and you're like, but God, why? Well, he'd say, well, you denied me, right? You wanted to live your life apart from me. And now all of a sudden, when you die, you want to be with me? Why would I do that? You wanted your whole life apart from me, and now all of a sudden you want to be with me? It's too late at that point. You must make your decision now while you're alive. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. People go to hell because of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned, meaning this. if you've sinned, which we all have, because the Bible says if you haven't sinned, then you're just a liar. Here's the deal. If you've sinned, you are worthy of hell. We are all worthy of hell. It's just the way it is. And so a person who has not given their life to Christ, and therefore Christ has not paid the penalty for their sin, they have not been forgiven, when they die and stand before the Lord, they are still guilty of all their sin. God says, hey, remember all those things that you did? Yeah? Okay, well sin is worthy of death, so you got to go, you're going to hell, I'm sorry, right? But for us, we have sinned as well, but it's different, because when we get up there, God will say, hey, you know all that bad stuff you did? And we're like, yeah. Oh, Jesus took the punishment for you. You know how you're supposed to die for your sin? Yeah, I do. Well, that's why Jesus died on the cross for you. And all you did was believe in him, and now you get to come to heaven. That's amazing. How amazing, right? That all we have to do is follow Jesus, right? God made it so simple. He did everything on the cross. He did everything. The cross is the way to heaven, which leads us to our third point called the path to paradise. Let's read verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I love this. We always ask this question. Why is life so hard? You probably said it. I'll be honest. I've said it before in my life. You want to know why life is so hard? Jesus just told us right here. He reminds us that the Christian life is not easy. He says the road is narrow and the way is difficult. Now, first, let me explain something. By difficult, he doesn't mean this. He doesn't mean it's difficult to be saved. He doesn't mean that. The gospel is very simple. You sinned, you deserve to die. Jesus, because of his great love for you, died in your place. All you have to do is acknowledge that, believe in him, and you're forgiven. That was pretty easy, right? The gospel, what did that take me, 7 seconds to like explain the gospel? That was really, really quick. Pretty simple, right? That's not the difficult part. The difficult part that Jesus is talking about in this passage is once you're saved, okay? So the reason why life is difficult is because when you're saved is for this, because there's many distractions. You see, you've decided to live for God now, and Satan and the old way you lived your life always want to remind you of how things used to be, the good old days, right? They always want you to think about that. They want to get you off the narrow road and back on the highway to hell. It's just the way it is. They want you to get back into that mentality that life is all about me. It's all about my gratification. It's not about God, right? After you get saved, the road is narrow and it's easy to fall off. Remember that street in Bolivia? I mean, right? You just take your eyes off the road for a second in Bolivia and you're, you know, see you later. You know, you're at the bottom of that cliff. But that's how the Christian life is, you guys. It's narrow so that we'll focus on God, because if we're Christians, and we claim to be, but our eyes are off the road, we're going to be falling all over the place and always falling off the road. And that's why it's difficult, right? The Bible says, walk circumspectly, or basically you could say this, walk carefully. Meaning, you guys, your life right now is a narrow road. Everything you do, somebody, the enemy, your old self is trying to get you distracted from keeping your eyes on God. And so you have to walk carefully. Observe the things around you. Don't hang out with wrong people. Don't watch the wrong shows. You have to constantly watch what's going on. Right? That's why life's difficult at times, because we doubt God. Right? I won't lie. It's tough sometimes to see sinful people who don't love God, to see them quote-unquote better off than me, right? To see them have less problems, to see them do other things, to have more stuff. But this is what you have to remember through the hard times. That Jesus promised them, he said, difficult is the way. He's promising that our lives will be difficult, but he also promised something else, that it won't be this way forever. That's the good news. That's what you have to remember in the difficulty of your Christian life. Don't lose heart. You have to remember the two things Jesus did. He was glorified and he suffered. Those are the two things Jesus did. And so if we're to be like Jesus, then guess what? We will be glorified someday in heaven. and we will suffer here as he did, right? Jesus said many times throughout the Bible, he said, you will have troubles in this life. He said, blessed are the persecuted. He said, you will have tribulation. He said, not you might have tribulation. He said, you will have tribulation, right? He said, don't worry if the world hates you. It hated me too, right? There's many times in the Bible that Jesus has promised that our lives were going to be difficult, you guys. But here's the deal. What's the worst thing that somebody could do to us? Kill us? Okay, like that stinks, I guess, right? But guess what? After I'm gone, I'm in the presence of the Lord in heaven forever and ever. I love it. Even if the worst thing on earth happened to me, it's going to lead to the best thing, which is being with Jesus in heaven. So we must remember, you guys, that God was up front with us about our Christian lives. I'm going to say something, and I don't want you guys to like take this the wrong way. On the Velocity Facebook, I like to read it. Sometimes I leave comments and stuff like that. And sometimes I read other people's comments. And it's always like this, my life is so hard. You know what I mean? I know I'm laughing a little bit right now, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just like laughing at the situation. Because I know that things are hard, and I do want to pray for you and love you, and things are going to be okay, because the Lord, if you believe in the Lord, he will work things out for your good. But sometimes I read these comments on Facebook, and it's like, pity party for one, you know what I mean? Like, everybody leave me comments because I'm so sad. Like, life is so hard. Why, God? Why is life so hard? And I'm like, hey, dude, Matthew 7:14. In this, the road is narrow and difficult, right? Jesus was always upfront with us about our life, right? He said, count the cost of being a disciple. Meaning, before you come to Jesus, realize what it means. It means eternal life, but it might mean a little bit of heartache, more heartache than unbelievers in this world, right? See? And if we're to be like Jesus, then let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever complain about the cross? Do the Gospels ever record Jesus like, oh, this cross is so heavy? No. He endured it the whole time. And so if we, and we're never going to go through anything as bad at the cross. So if our Lord could go through the cross without complaining, can't we go through a couple of things that go on with our friends and our parents and our lives without totally blowing up and writing 75 Facebook messages like, my life is horrible, you know what I mean? I think we can. We shouldn't be surprised, okay? Trials come, and we should lift each other up and pray for each other and love each other, but don't be surprised when they come. He's told us up front. So many people, when they come to Jesus Christ, they think this, that Jesus is a magic genie, right? You're like, Lord, I give you my life, and fill me with your spirit, and now I'll take my three wishes. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work like that, you guys. It doesn't work like that. It's not like I'll have this and this and this. And Lord, now that I'm a believer, I don't want any heartache. I don't want any troubles. But the Lord is like, but I went through a bunch of those things. And here's the deal. How can we not go through trouble, you guys? We're in the middle of Satan's playground. Earth is Satan's playground, dude. This is his place for a little while, right? And so how can we, as enemies of Satan, really ever have like amazingness here on earth, right? Because, I mean, that's his goal, is to wreck us. You think Satan cares about unbelievers? No, they're on the highway to hell. He wants us, the ones on the narrow road. He wants to get our attention off of God. He wants us to fall back onto the highway. He doesn't care about unbelievers. They're already headed that way. He wants us who are on our way to heaven to turn from God and to start living our old lifestyle again, right? So maybe you're thinking, well, why would I live for God if it's going to be harder, right? Why go through the pain? Maybe I should just be a pagan and then like at least I'll have some good time here on earth. Well, let me ask you this question. Who wouldn't give 70 years of trouble and trials and heartache for an eternity of glory? Or let me put it like monetarily for you, okay? What if I said, I'll give you $1,000 today or $1 million in 5 years? I hope that you would be like the $1 million at the end, right, in 5 years. That's like what Jesus is like. Hey, you want the glory now? Fine, live for yourself. But at the end of your days, you don't get glory, you get hell. Or you live for me here and your life isn't that bad. I mean, we have great times. We have joy. We have a couple more heartaches and pains and tribulations than unbelievers. But at the end of it all awaits us eternity, forever of glory, right? That's the best part. I love that. Jesus says, what profit a man who gains the whole world or loses his own and loses his own soul? Basically saying, what if everything right now, you guys, that you've ever wanted, you had, but you didn't have Jesus? What's the point? Because at any minute, it could be gone, right? Who wouldn't forfeit a little bit of trouble for an eternity of glory? Only an idiot wouldn't, right? Only a fool would be like, oh, you know what? I'd rather just have the stuff now. And then he walks outside and gets hit by a car, and it's like, well, now you get nothing, right? It's like, that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, it's okay. We can do this together. We're here to help each other out. And guess what? At the end of it all, we get Jesus, we get heaven. Let's go to our next point called the pursuit of a person. So we've seen heaven, we've seen hell, the two choices. Now let's see what our pursuit should be if these are the two places that we're supposed to go. Let's read verse 14, just the very end. He says, I'll read the whole thing. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Here's the part we're going to focus on. And there are few who find it. So what does that mean? Only special people find heaven, right? Like there's a secret code word for heaven. You know, I heard this joke once about a lady who had a disease. She was in the hospital for a while, and she died. And when she got to the gates of heaven, there was Peter, right? And Peter's like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, oh, good. You know, I'm so happy to be here in heaven. It's great. How do I get through the doors? And he says, all you have to do is spell a word. And she's like, oh, great. What's the word? Peter says, it's love. She goes, oh, great, L-O-V-E. So she gets it. And so later on that week, Peter, you know, he's Peter, you know, he got tired and he was doing something else. And he took a break and he asked the lady who died, hey, since you're in heaven now, do you mind watching the gates? And you know, just ask people the questions if they come to the gates. Okay, cool. So the lady who died, husband came to the gates. He must have died. And she goes, oh, honey, how are you? I'm so glad you're here. And he goes, oh, good. And she says, what have you been up to for a while? And he said, oh, I married the nurse that was taking care of you. I won the lottery. I sold our house in Oklahoma and bought a beach house in Hawaii. Hey, and by the way, how do I get into heaven? And the woman says, oh, you just have to spell a word. And he says, what word? And she says, Czechoslovakia. Right? Okay, it's not going to be like that. There's no special code word. That's not what this means here. Okay? All right? The usage here that says, the usage of the word here that says few find it, it means this. Few find it because they're not looking for it. You see, you don't just stumble over your way to heaven. You must seek the true way. Did you hear that? You must seek the true way, not your way, not the way you'd like it to be. Like, I'd like to heaven to be eating 17 Pop-Tarts and then I get to go, right? No, it's like the true way, the only way, the way Jesus Christ, right? Right? That's the only thing you can do. But there's a lot of people who don't want to do that, right? There's a lot of people who aren't worried about what happens after they die. That's what this passage is saying. It's saying few find it because there's few looking for it. Do you guys know this? 100 people die every minute, at least. That's crazy to think about, right? Now, let me tell you this. One survey said this. 33% of the world is Christian. Now, let's just assume that all of those Christians are saved. Okay, we know that there's plenty of false Christians who don't believe in Jesus and call themselves Christians. So we know that we'll talk about false people next week, actually, in our study. But here's the deal. Let's just assume that that 33% of Christians are really saved. They really do love Jesus. They really do live for him. Okay, that would mean this, that every minute 100 people die. So how many people would go to heaven would be the Christians? 33%, right? Or 33 people, which means this. Every single minute, 33 people roughly go to heaven and 67 people go to hell. That's sad. That's so sad. And that's me being very gracious. It could be more like 5 go to heaven and 95 go to hell. So what are we to do if 150 to 250,000 people are dying every day? Well, two things. This is what our two pursuits should be, the point we're talking about. The first is this. We should be right with God. We need to know that we're going to be right with God. Because who's to say out of those 100 people who die every minute that we won't be one of them? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Start sharing Christ with others. Because who's to say that the people that you love deeply, your friends and your family, that they won't be part of the 100 people who die every hour? You see that? If the world's not looking for Jesus Christ, like it says here, these people don't find it because they're not looking for it. So if they're not looking for it, then we must go tell them about it. If they're not looking, then we need to show them the gospel, right? If they don't want Jesus, then we need to put Jesus in their face, right? And say, here's the truth, right? That's the way it goes. That should be our pursuit, to be right with God, to know we're going to heaven, and then to bring people with us and share truth. So we started off the night with a question, and I'm going to end it the same thing. I told you, you have a decision to make today. Some of you maybe have never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've done it a long time ago and you sure haven't been living for him. Well, guess what? Maybe you're not looking for Jesus Christ, but he's looking for you. And this message is for you. Or maybe you have made a commitment to the Lord sometime in the past, but you haven't been living for him, but you still believe in him. Then I would say this, you need to repent. That just means stop what you're doing that's wrong and start doing what God would ask you to do. And if some of you in here today love the Lord and are living for him, amen. God bless you. And may you start showing people truth. Now that you're right with God, start getting other people right with God. Show them how. But here's the deal. No matter what group you fall into tonight, you all have a decision to make. You know, someone once said this. When you have a decision to make, you have three choices. What you want to do, what everybody else does, and the right thing. I pray that some of you tonight would do the right thing and give your life to Jesus. Know you're going to heaven 100%. That if you're one of those 100 people who dies tonight, or excuse me, in the next minute, we got 1 minute left. If you're one of those people, that you'll know that even if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I drop dead 5 seconds later, I get to go to heaven because he paid my price. So I'm going to ask you guys to just bow your heads. Okay, everybody close your eyes. And very simply, okay, once again, no one can make you decide. Only you can. And so I'm going to simply ask you this question. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ tonight, I just simply want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to come, like, you know, shout out your name. It's nothing to be ashamed of. The Lord loves you. The Lord sees you. Just simply raise your hand, and I just want to lead you in a prayer. Don't be ashamed. It's a great thing. Know tonight where you're going. No tonight. Just simply raise your hand up and say, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to that other place. I want to go to heaven, and I know that Jesus died for me. Or maybe some of you in here tonight are some of those ones who have given your life to Jesus at some time in the past, but you're sure not living for him. And just raise your hand up. And I simply want to pray for you that you'll change your life tonight. This is your time to choose. God bless you. God bless you. This is your turn. God bless you over there. God bless you in the back. I see you. God bless you. This is your time, you guys. God bless you. I see you guys in the back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you in the front. This is your time, you guys, to not think about, God bless you. Many people, guys, raising their hands. You guys can do it too. Keep them up. Keep them up, you guys. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to carry a cross for you and bleed, and the God of the universe was not afraid to leave his throne and come down to be with men who spit in his face. Don't be afraid to raise your hand up. Good for you. Well, for those of you who raise your hand, I just want you to simply repeat this prayer after me. This isn't a magical prayer. It's simply you putting faith in Jesus. The Bible says that whoever should call upon the Lord will be saved. And this is just you calling upon the Lord. All right? So just repeat this and mean it from your heart, okay? Lord, I give you my life. I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live a life for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Good job. Give it up for those people. Hey, if you're one of those people who gave your life to the Lord tonight, amen. Good for you. You made the right choice. You did the right thing. And I'll tell you this. If you need anything, we're here for you. If you want to talk, come up here and pray with somebody. We'd love to talk to you. If you have something going on in your life, we want to lift you up and let you know that it's going to be okay, all right? But besides that, you guys, I love you. I'm so glad that some of you made such great decisions. Now get out there and let's bring some people with us, all right? I'll see you guys on Wednesday. God bless.